We're going to talk to Bruce Williams from now from Rail Future, because there's talk of train fares being frozen, train fares being given the same kind of treatment as restaurants were by the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, to try and get people back on them. Bruce, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Mike?
It is. I mean, I keep seeing pictures, which rather disturb me, of empty trains coming into London during rush hour. I mean, I've got friends who travel in and have been working through the pandemic, who said that at the very start of the lockdown, they were the only people on them. Now they say there's maybe six other people on them as well as them. It's an incredibly kind of depressing thought, isn't it?
Well, it is, really. And, you know, you make the case very well when you say that the Chancellor has been giving you know, incentives for pretty much every other sector of industry to recover from this pandemic, and yet the rail industry again is facing further disincentives for passengers to travel on the trains when the prices go up in January.
Yes. I mean, it's going to be tricky, isn't it, for the rail companies, because already, I presume, they're all in a pretty bad way financially because nobody's been spending any money. We know, for example, the Transport for London here in the capital is more or less bankrupt because nobody's using the tube.
Well, indeed. When it comes to the train companies, it's a bit of a different story because they're now on a kind of fixed-term contract, a fixed-price contract.
Right.
So when it comes to ticket revenue, it's now the government or the Department for Transport that's taking that hit. Because clearly, if franchises were carrying on as normal, all the rail companies would be out of business now. They'd all be bankrupt.
Yeah, right.
They'd have no, you know, no revenue.
Right, but I mean, so if you're running a rail company at the moment, are you still more or less satisfied that you're still going to make the money that you would have made regardless of whether anybody's on the trains or not then?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, because they're being paid a
pretty good business
to run the train. Yeah, they're fine. It's not the train companies, but it's the sort of the rail industry as a whole, the rail network. You know, that we need to sort of take a look at, really.
Mm, absolutely right. And so, I mean, what in your view would be a reason to get people back onto to the trains? Because clearly the roads are mega busy at the moment because people just are still travelling. They're just not using public transport.
Well, indeed. I mean, there is still this social distancing health problem that we can't ignore. The coronavirus is still out there. We don't have a cure. We don't have a vaccine. So we still need to take health measures on the trains. But I suppose we're taking a sort of slightly longer term view.
Mm.
You know, this pandemic will be over one day, and we want to have a railway network that is viable and you know, gives a decent service to passengers, and crucially, which is affordable and which attracts passengers. And there's another very key element to this as well, which is the environment. The government wants to go carbon neutral. Well, if you want environmentally friendly transport, then it's got to be rail. You know, because that, you know, that can be electric, it can be powered by wind and solar, it can be absolutely pollution free. But the government needs to invest in it and encourage people to use the trains rather than our polluted, congested road network.
Well, you can't really tell me that they haven't invested in the railway network, given how much money they're spending on HS2 and the Crossrail project, which is still going ahead, as far as I'm aware.
Yes, it is. And, you know, you're absolutely right. There are examples of investment which is happening on the rail, which is very welcome. But, you know, it's got to continue, and we've got to actually persuade passengers to use the network. You know, there's no use sort of investing in shiny new trains if you're then pricing people off them.
Yeah.
And then people go
back
to their cars.
But also, is there any point in finishing Crossrail given the fact that nobody's actually coming to London at all?
Oh, well, yeah, again, take a long-term view. Yeah, I mean, right now, there's probably no need for it. But, you know, in a year, 6 months, whatever, there definitely will be that need for it. Yeah, we desperately need the extra capacity that Crossrail will bring. And we desperately need the extra capacity, you know, across other parts of the network.
Well, I'm not so sure, you know, because you and I may have to have this conversation in a year's time.
Mm.
Because an awful lot of people, an awful lot of companies are coming more and more around to the idea and the notion that they can save themselves quite a few bob by having lots of people working from home and actually not bringing them back into offices and not renting huge amounts of office space because they don't need it.
Well, there's no doubt that I haven't got the virus, by the way. I don't think so.
I'm glad to hear it.
You know, that times have changed,
yeah.
and people's work habits have changed as well. But I think, you know, you've also heard anecdotally that people are sort of going mad at home. You know, the kids are driving them mad. They can't work properly. They just want to sort of get to the office for that sort of break and to sort of socialise and meet their co-workers and so on. And I'm very confident that in the longer term, even though work patterns will be permanently changed, that the passenger numbers will return to rail. And I think, you know, I don't live in London, but I mean, I suspect there are certain tube lines that right now are still pretty busy.
They're actually not. I mean, that's the surprising thing, is that the streets are still quite busy, and trying to get in and out of London in a car is an absolute nightmare. And most, I don't use the Underground very much, but every time I do use it, and I have used it at rush hour, you'd be amazed at how uncrowded it is.
Well, okay, maybe I'll take your local knowledge on that. But, you know, nonetheless, I still remain optimistic that passenger numbers will return in 2 or 3 years' time.
But kind of the longer this goes on, though, the more people get used to it and the less likely it is to go back to normal.
Well, time will tell, really, won't it? You know, but what can I say? I still think, you know, that the future for the railway is rosy if you take a long-term view and you invest in it.
Well, certainly, if you get paid, regardless of how many people you actually manage to transport, that's a pretty good deal for a railway company. So, I guess for them, there's no incentive for them to rush back, to get people back on the trains. It's an incredible deal, that.
Well, you know, it's not quite as good as that. I mean, there will be performance-related measures, so they will be paid on the basis of punctuality. And generally speaking, there are examples of that, you know, TfL and I think Merseyrail and so on, which have run on that basis of a sort of fixed price contract, and it does seem to work out better. And I'm pretty confident that we are not, you know, the government haven't announced this, but, you know, reading between the lines, I don't think they're going to go back to franchising. I think the long-term future of the railway is in fixed-term contracts.
Yeah, well, we shall see. Bruce, thanks very much indeed for talking to us. Bruce Williamson there from Campaign Group Rail Future.